Hello, welcome to Stand Up for the Week. Are you well? Of course you are. So we're here to talk about the news. What's the big news story of the week? Well, for me, it's got to be that we finally got there. They said it couldn't be done. We said, shut up, this is what Adam and Eve dreamt of. They said it shouldn't be done. We kept shagging and doing babies out. Oh, and then they said, we can't shag fast enough. We'll grow them in tubes, we said. We will grow them in tubes until we get to 7 billion humans on Earth. That's what we've got to this week. We've got to 7 billion. This is the baby that the UN says is baby number 7 billion. This is Camille Galura's daughter, the father, of course, Sloth from the Goonies. That is an ugly baby, isn't it? I realise this will split the audience into people who say there's no such thing as an ugly baby and men. That is a gruesomely ugly... It says girl on it. If you've got to label it when it's naked... Poor bastard. And the baby knows, you can see the expression in its one good eye. That is an eye that's saying, give me 5 minutes to get the womb off me before... Because I'm covered in fanny juice here, and this picture is probably going global. Just a wet wipe over it, for crying out loud. Poor baby. The last billion babies were all born in the last 12 years, and you can get odds of the 8 billionth baby being fathered by John Terry are 3 to 1. I think it's worth it. There are so many people now, there must be people, with 7 billion people on the planet, there'd be people who are just thinking, they probably don't need me anymore. I think I need to up my game. I've done a list of people who I consider to be in the danger zone. Ashley Cole. Never really out of it, was he? Frankie Kokoza. Anyone who's deliberately touched his penis on purpose, you go on the list as well. Anyone who works for Halifax FM and has sung Isa, Isa Baby, just do them all a favour and leave. Not really. People who come out of work and keep their lanyards on the tube. Like, yeah, I actually work for the government. I didn't ask and I don't give a shit. Anyone who joined Match.com as a result of that advert with that prick playing a ukulele on a train platform... You do not deserve love, and you do not deserve life. And Jeremy Clarkson, just to cap off the list, because I hated him anyway, but he's lifted an injunction this week to reveal that he's been having an affair, but not with anyone. He's cheated on his second wife with his first wife. If you're going to have an affair, do someone you haven't done before. Don't cheat on someone with someone you've already done. And apparently he lured his first wife back with sex and curry in his London bolt hole, which... If he's had a curry, I'm not going near his bolt hole. And the papers were saying, oh, well, as a lover, I imagine Clarkson, is he a Ferrari or a Fiesta? He's implying that a Ferrari's good, but surely you don't want a lover who's 0 to 60 in 6 seconds. An old Ford Fiesta, it's good for the town, of course it is. If you want to go on the motorway, it's fine. You're going to get there. Not that I drive a Fiesta, but I do. I resent being told because I'm a Fiesta driver I'm a shit lover. I'm not. I give you a little bit of room in the boot, but don't stick too much up there. There's no need. I love my Fiesta so much, sometimes I cry after I pull out. Give us a cheer. This is the pressing question on my mind. Give us a cheer if you're a fan of the rapper Dr. Evil. Yeah. Just the one? We're about to, I'm genuinely about to change that. I'm going to read you some lyrics. He's a genuine PhD in evil. Here are the lyrics to his classic tune, More Poonani. This is his lyrics. This is last night, me got some Poonani. Right now, me want more Poonani. I mean, I've not got the tune, but I don't think it really matters. I imagine he wrote it to be read in a northern accent. I took a girl to a tambu boo-boo. That's where I cocked her up. And it's been brought to my attention, there are still men who think it's appropriate to cock a girl up outside the tambu boo-boo. Come on, lads, we discussed this at the AGM. All cocking up is to be done inside the tambu boo-boo, because that's what it's for. So he's given her a good cocking up, and that's where I gave her my bamboo boo-boo. It's a classic ballad. Give a cheer if you're now a fan of the rapper Dr. Evil. It's lovely lyricism. And a station in Scotland played that track by Dr. Evil, or Drivel, as I think you're supposed to pronounce it. Brick FM in Scotland. They put that out at 3:07 in the afternoon. Just for the kids when they're coming out of school, just for the drive home. they've put out more Poonani, as you would, at 7 minutes past three. And Ofcom, those bloody weirdos, they've kicked off about it. They're like, you can't put that out at 7 minutes past three. And this is the best excuse. This is what they said in a hearing to Ofcom. They said, what you don't understand is a Poonani is a locally produced sandwich. Made of Italian bread toasted with some cheese. Why wouldn't they? Well, of course, this is just a song about a man who wants to cock up his sandwich. I've cocked up a sandwich before, but mainly by leaving the crust till the end. He's cocking it up in a very different way, and we've all been in that situation in your cafe when you think, well, I'll have a cheese and onion Poonani, side order a poom poom. Someone else can have some poom poom because I don't want to have all the poom poom. So, and just a jug of clunge for the table, I guess. They genuinely claimed it was a sandwich, right? And another station that got in trouble was Total Star Wiltshire. They put out a tune by the Out Here Brothers. Now, they put this out at 9:45 a.m. With the lyric, put your poonani on my tongue, and he's not had enough, greedy, right? He wants a poonani on the tongue and put your booty on my face, which I would suggest is kind of an all-in deal. It's a detachable poonani. Some of the fun's gone out of it. But they've popped that out at 9:45 and they've got in trouble as well. And I think they would have got away with it had they not gone straight into Brown Eyed Girl by Van Morrison. That was where they got in trouble. It's exciting, isn't it? This is the week, finally, when those at the heart of a global crisis had the balls to accept what they've done and step aside for a brand new future to begin. Bye-bye, Frankie. Bye-bye. I'm joking, of course. Frankie Kokoza has no significance outside of his own tortured imagination. This is the week when EU leaders finally stepped aside, starting with George Papandreou, the Prime Minister of Greece. Here he is in happier times. That's him at the launch of Movember. Cracking big smiley face, hasn't he? He had to step aside. He said to his people, back me or sack me, and they backsack and cracked him. Give us a cheer in the audience tonight. Give us a cheer if you would like a tenner. It's quite a swift response, isn't it? Quite an easy question. He got offered £112 billion and he said, I'll have a think about it. I don't think you will. There is no other situation in the world in which case that is something you have to think about. Oh, awkward, excuse me. Hello? Hello, Mr. Banker. Yeah, what's your offer then? £112 billion, is it? Jesus. It's a very good offer, but if I'm honest, when I'm coming here, I had a figure in my head. Because I think I've got all blown around, you see, but I've got to put a new kitchen in because my wife, she's pregnant, so... I'm ready for the question. Go fuck yourself! That's basically the equivalent of what he did. So also this week, another leader left. A leader that, for me, was the only one who truly understood the extent of the debt. The only leader who truly understood how bad it was Silvio Berlusconi. That is a man who went insane. He was honestly used to be very studious. He had his glasses on. He was late in the office doing his sums. Got to about midnight. He carried the one. He calculated Greek debt. And by 6 a.m. the next morning, they found him in his pants in the office just going, somebody got to touch my penis. Somebody got to bang a bang at this because there's no time to explain. Please touch my penis. They're now going to have to go back to the lira, which was actually named after Silvio Berlusconi. It's fascinating that he stepped aside and now people are saying, well, this is it now, it's a fresh start and a new dawn. But if he's been in power this long, how shit is every other Italian politician? If you cannot challenge a man who has been accused of being in the mafia, he's been accused of paying to have people sent away, he's been accused of sleeping with underage prostitutes, and his opponents are still basically going, yeah, but he got a lovely smile. He's so cheeky. He's a cheeky Silvio, and yeah, bloody Silvio. Here are things he's actually said. Cheeky Silvio, here are some of his lines. He described himself as pretty often faithful. It's not really an all... It's kind of like saying, well, more or less a life. He was asked how Italian people should get out of the debt, and he said, do what I do, earn more money. Still in government. And he genuinely described himself as the Jesus Christ of politics. Presumably because that's what people say every time he launches a new policy. In the same way that Nick Clegg is the fuck me sideways of British politics. So this, excitingly this week, this is the week that Dr. Conrad Murray was found guilty of the involuntary manslaughter of Michael Jackson. It's difficult to know how to react, isn't it? Because involuntary manslaughter really says, you probably should have done better, but he was clearly knackered anyway. You didn't mean to do it, but the cheer was as if Jackson had been on the treadmill drinking protein shakes, pumping iron, and Conrad Murray had run in and stabbed him in the back several times. He was clearly knackered, wasn't he? And they're slagging the doctor off, saying, oh, he was debt-ridden, he was a disgraced doctor. Well, of course he was, because I imagine the normal doctor said no when you said, do you fancy following Michael Jackson round and injecting anaesthetic into his eyes? I imagine any decent doctor said, I don't think so. Of course you ended up with someone going, oh, shit, yeah. I'll stick it in his eyes. Even if you don't want it, I'll stick it in his eyes. I'll go stick it in his stomach. I'll go stick it everywhere, baby. I feel a bit sorry for him because the autopsy came out and the last sort of recorded bit of speech they have of Michael Jackson is him saying, do you know what? I want these gigs to be the best gigs ever. I want people to come and see me and I want them to go say Michael Jackson was the best entertainer in the world, which I fully endorse. But by the time he said that, let's be honest, he was pretty old. And in the autopsy they revealed he was nearly blind and he was bald. Those probably aren't going to be the best Michael Jackson gigs in the world, are they? Billy Jean is... He's just a girl. Is it him the way? A fucking blinger frame, that, innit? Granny rocks up at the day centre and that, she's gonna get it. This is the week of fear, if you haven't read the papers. Yeah, you're right to laugh. I know why you're laughing, because you're afraid. More than a third of us... I'm sorry, this is quite emotional. More than a third of us, it was revealed this week, are allergic to our own homes! There's a toaster that can give you syphilis. No, there's no toaster that can... Apparently, if you've got a runny nose, it's not a cold. It's because you're allergic to dust mites. Yeah, it's not really... We've got a picture of a dust mite, if you're not sure. I mean, we perhaps should have zoomed in a bit more. This is what they really look like. Yeah. Big, angry, but actually tiny and irrelevant dust mites. Ah! There are 2 million of those in our beds, apparently. Yeah, it's quite rank, isn't it? The male dust mite, he lives for 20 days. And the female dust mite, she lives for 70 days. Isn't that bullshit? And they retire earlier. They spend half their days, the female dust mites, just lying in bed watching loose dust mites on TV. The reason there are tedious stories about bedbugs in the papers is because I am slowly fixing the country and the world. I slagged off Frankie Kokoza. Gone. No need to thank me. No need to thank me. Then I went international. I slagged off Berlusconi. He's gone. Now I'm deeply regretting it because there are tedious people running the world. This is the man that replaced Silvio Berlusconi. That is Mario Monti. And if you're looking at that picture thinking there's nothing funny about that guy, well, you have really hit the nail on the head there. That is a boring man. He used to work in a bank. He's got 2 kids. He loves them both. Wanker. So I've had to pick a new target for my anger. I've had to look, scoured the world to find out who deserves my hate. Who am I bringing down? And I've gone for this piece of shit. That's right. That is Larry, the Downing Street cat. It's Larry's job to get rid of the mice in Downing Street. And Larry said, do you know what? I'm not going to bother, actually. And when I say it's Larry's job to get rid of the mice, I mean, it's Larry's function as a cat to get rid of mice. I mean, to be fair, it's slightly harsh on Larry because the mice themselves... It's a bit like the old lady who swallowed a fly. The cat was brought in to get rid of the mice. The mice were brought in to get rid of Nick Clegg. Eventually, they'll bring in a dog to get rid of the cat, and then this just ends in the release of Anne Widdecombe, which is good news for nobody. And their youth employment is at over 1 million now. There are 1 million people. Give us a cheer if you're currently unemployed. There's a few of us around. Give us a cheer if you would gladly take money to chase mice around Downing Street. That's more people than are unemployed. People will quit their jobs to do what that lazy fat... The global crisis boils down to this, right? There are some people in this world who have too much fucking money. Right? Give us a cheer if you know the name of the fastest man in the world. Right, a few of us, Usain Bolt. Give us a cheer if you know the name of the richest man in the world. Isn't that mental? Nobody knows who the richest man in the world is. The richest man in the world is Carlos Slim, is his name. He lives in Mexico, and he is worth 43 billion. £1 billion, right? And if you can't quite measure how much that is, a nursery nurse in this country would have to work for 3.2 million years. 3.2 million years pulling glue sticks out of nostrils to be worth £42 billion, right? And let's say she's finished now. Let's go back 3.2 million years. This is what humans look like. That is an uphill task, teaching that how to make a Rice Krispie cake. That's all I'm going to say. Basically, you've got to melt the chocolate over the hot water. No, just don't throw your feces at me in the class. We've discussed this. Let's see if anyone can tell me who the name of this next man is. There he is. Who is that? Yeah, nobody knows. That's the richest man in the UK. That's Lakshmi Mittal. He's worth £17 billion, right? Now, for £1 million, I've worked out, you can employ 50 people on £20 grand a year to do anything. Like, why wouldn't you? If I had £1 million, I would have someone to follow me and laugh at all my jokes. I would employ someone to simply be more hungover than me. At all times... Your job is to go out with me, you drink one more of whatever I drink, and then tomorrow I don't feel like such a waster. The only man who's captured this, the only man who knows is Prince Charles, and I never thought I'd say this, but he's got this taped. Prince Charles is a man who has someone to warm his toilet seat for him. He has a professional harpist, simply so that he can make flashback jokes at dinner parties. That's all he does. He goes, well, this reminds me of the time I was in Morocco, Susan. Brum, 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 brum. It was a hot day. People have too much money, and the sick thing is that what was in the news this week is that the only one of us who knows their job is safe, despite the fact they are clearly shit at it, is this furry piece of shit. If ever there was a phrase to kickstart the protest against capitalism, let it be, fuck you, Larry. I'd like to start this week by saying, fuck. Yeah, that's right. And the fact that all of you stayed is really a sign of the trouble this country is in. Because this is the week the paper said that standards have slipped in the UK to the point where swearing is no longer offensive. A judge upheld an appeal on behalf of a man who swore at the police, and the judge said it was right for him to get off because nobody's offended by swearing anymore. What he said to the police, he said, fuck you, man. He probably didn't say it in a Mardy Northern accent. You'll have to imagine a slightly more masculine chap saying it then. Hey, bugger you, you sod. He said, fuck you, man. I told you wouldn't find fuck all. And the judge's defence was the people who hang around with this guy probably weren't offended. And of course that's fair. I doubt his friends were saying, oh, Denzel. No, you've gone too far this time, Denzel. No, I'm all for poking fun at the 5-0. But... there's no need to drop the F-bomb when English is such a beautiful language. Obviously, they didn't do that, because if they were those kind of people, they would have said from the beginning, well, you brought this on yourself when you said you wouldn't find fuck all and employed a double negative. You really asked the policeman to search you, didn't you, Denzi? And he was being provoked. The kid was being provoked. He'd just been shot in the eye the day before. He'd come out of hospital, and the policeman apparently got him in a headlock and sprayed him with pepper spray. Now, to be fair, I think I would have taken it. But the papers, honestly, all this is an epidemic. Everybody's swearing at the police, as if old ladies are going up to officers and going, "Excuse me, Officer Cocklicker? Where is the train station, you bender?" To a point where in the Daily Mail this week, Philip Norman wrote, "Stand-up comedians these days use the F-word instead of punchlines." I mean, I've been doing it wrong. I apologise to you. So I've written a few of these apparently topical jokes, so we'll try them out now. Knock, knock. Fuck off. Okay, all right, fair dues. A man goes to the doctor. He says, "Doctor, doctor, I think I'm a pair of curtains." And the doctor said, "I just told you to fuck off." Oh, Philip's right. This is incredible. Just invented a whole new school of comedy. However, before we go any further, I have a confession which I need to make. I've been tipped off this week that some information has been gathered by the press about me. I've been going through my bins, and it's all going to come out in the press this week anyway, so I'd rather tell you now, face to face. I put a pizza box straight in the bin. I didn't put it in the recycling, and I'd already had tea and I was angry at myself and not the world, but I put it in there and they've been going through my phone. They've got phone messages which they've hacked. I've got the transcripts. I'm going to read them for you now. So first message says, "Hi, it's me. Why haven't you been here this week? Is there someone else? The least you can do is tell me. Call me on 9460613 or order online at papajohns.com. UK. I don't know how they've got this, bastards. It's the second message they've got. It says, "Hi, John. It's John. Just to remind you, you need to put the bins out when you get in. Don't worry about what that girl said in Top Man. I think you're well cool. And don't forget to get that pizza box out of the bin and put it in the recycling. I don't know if you thought you would forget, but I'm here to tell you now that you haven't. And it's been bugging you all day, so get it sorted." Sons of bitches. This is, of course, this week's Media Ethics Inquiry. Hugh Grant was there on Monday doing his old classics, Ting Lang Hong, Divine Brown, love that one. Coogan was there on Tuesday. Thought he would have done more Partridge, if I'm honest. Quite straight-laced. Here's the problem with the Media Ethics Inquiry, is that Coogan and Hugh Grant, they're definitely on the right side of the argument here. They're definitely making the right point. However, they are also philandering turds. If you don't want the press to report that you're doing terrible things, don't do terrible things. Just easy, isn't it, to not hire a prostitute and get a blowjob in a car? I've been doing it my whole life. Almost, it's got to a point now where I don't even have to think about it. I don't even have to repress the thought. Although, having said that, even that doesn't help. One of the first people to get a settlement in the News International case was Gordon Taylor. And he got a settlement because a story had been prepared that was based on a photo of him with a girl after they'd allegedly intercepted a message on Gordon Taylor's answer phone that said, "Thank you for yesterday, you were wonderful." Right, and News International gone, Now, what it actually was that he had given a speech at her father's funeral. Oh, that sod. Anyway, that Gordon Taylor. "Whoa, we'll get you," they said. And they got a picture of him, and it was clearly just a nice thing. And the lawyer defending him said, "Well, they've got 2 and 2, and they've made 84. Which I think he's still being generous, because 84 is divisible by 2. They were further afield. I would have said they've got 2 and 2, and they've made Uruguay. Because now I'm worried. I'm genuinely worried about how many mates I've got in trouble. Because if I get a chance to leave a message that has an innuendo in it, I'm going to leave that message. I went for a curry with a friend last week, and I left him a message the very next day saying, "Thanks for last night. It was so hot, I still can't sit down." Join us in the week where we had a bank holiday to celebrate the wedding of Nick and Jemima Wiggins. Yeah. Of course we didn't. Who would live in a country as ridiculous as to have a day off just because two people you don't give a shit about are getting married? This was, of course, the public sector strikes. And if you're not sure which side of a debate you fall on, I always find it's easiest to just look at the sides and decide who you are definitely not supporting. So chief amongst the people who don't support the strikes, Mr. Gideon Osborne. That's really a face that says, everything I agree with, you should very much disagree with. I introduced him as Gideon, of course. He doesn't like Gideon. He changed his name because he didn't think anyone would be successful with a name like Gideon, which, given that no one knows about his sister Giddyup, is very difficult. Difficult to disagree with. She should have picked Samantha, but she wouldn't have it. His full name, of course, now is George. Some of my best friends are taxpayers. Osborne. And the man in charge of disagreeing with him on our behalf is Mr. Ed Miliband. And there's Ed this week. That's him in Asda, and this is the man in charge. I mean, ask yourself, does this look like a man who is going to lead the country, or does that look like a man who is trying to convince Sue to work on Sunday?
I know you don't want to come in, but Edna's going on holiday, and we're going to be very short-staffed because we've got the new £3, £1, £3, £5 offer on.
The other people who disagreed with the strikes were the sort of right-wing tabloids. The Sun, Trevor Kavanagh said this week that these public sector workers should take the pensions they've been offered before they're snatched out of their greedy hands forever. Yeah, the greedy hands of those bitch dinner ladies. horrible dinner ladies. How dare they want to cook food for children all their lives and want more than £60 a week when they retire? Oh, no, I say we should sack the lot of the dinner ladies and just invent a chair that fires turkey twizzlers up a kid's arse. And what annoys me is the papers who reported that the public sector workers were being greedy printed a list this week of the top 30 young entertainment earners in the country, Daniel Radcliffe, and amongst them was Adele, who's worth £7 million now because she does a noise out of her face. That's basically why she's rich, isn't it? Because she goes... A little bit better than that, I'll give her that. But no. She said this year that she got her tax bill. She said, I got my tax bill. I wanted to get on a killing spree because it was massive. I imagine it was quite big, and that's because you weren't fucking millions. If you get paid to just do noises out of your face, you can't resent giving some of it back every now and again, can you? That's all she does. Go, I'll set fire to the rain. I don't think you will. It's very wet. It made me so angry. She said, oh, why should I have to pay taxes? Schools are rubbish. I've got to pay for buses. I don't use the buses anymore. Well, I think the reason is this country isn't run exclusively for you, you fucking moron. Honestly. She's not the person that made me angriest. The person who has pissed me off the most this week, and chief amongst the morons who don't understand this country, is Pippa Middleton. That's another one. I've pixelated her arse just because I like to live in a world where her arse is just all right and we've already forgotten what her fucking name was. She's famous because people went, oh, you got a nice bum, ain't you? And so famous is she that this week she signed a deal to write a book worth £400,000, right? And that book is going to be about parties. She's going to write a book on how to do parties for £400,000. And I went on her website for her party planning group, and the sort of food they recommend for her parties are... This is very difficult to say. Foie gras macaroons. Tasty, isn't that? Foie gras macaroons. And I imagine how difficult that would be to say if most of the guests at your party are so inbred their tongues no longer fit in their mouths. Would you like a foie gras macaroon? Who wants to read how she wants to plan a party? I'll be honest, I go down to Iceland to get an Indian snack selection for £3. You can have a samosa, of course you can, or you can have the weird sort of meat thing that no one really knows what it is, but hey, I like to party like a celeb. Pippa Middleton released her Christmas tips this week, because this is the week, now Christmas starts, so we get all celebrities doing their Christmas shows about how poor peasants like us can have a recession-proof Christmas, and Nigella Lawson says, I actually make cushions out of belly button fluff. And then I make candles out of earwax, and I give those as gifts, because I haven't got any money. I think that might be bullshit. But I know I'm being sarcastic, but Pippa Middleton did a blog about tips for Christmas. I don't know if you know about Christmas, but it's coming up. I've never heard of it before. But apparently it's stressful. People get all narked about it. And here are some tips from Pippa Middleton. And don't thank me for these, because these are hers. I'm not taking any credit for these belters. You can decorate your tree. You don't think of it, do you? You don't think of it. Because you have stuff to do. But she sat down and she thought, why not? Because I never bother, to be honest. I usually just drape a used Johnny across a cheese plant. Just stick that in the living room. Just go, yeah, that's... But she said, no, get yourself a tree and put baubles on it. And I said, what, black and white ones? Coloured ones, this green and... I can't remember the names of the colours, but she knows them all. They're all on the... This is the bestest tip she's ever done in my world. She says, you know when you buy someone a present, you can wrap it up before you give it to them. Because I usually try and do it in mid-air as I'm... And you don't want them to see what it is, do you? But do it before, and then they get to unwrap it, and it's like a surprise for them. And you just get rid of that stress then as well of trying to perform hoodoo magic in midair when you pissed on eggnog at 11 o'clock on Christmas morning. I mean, what bloke? She's missed some of the obvious ones. Not on the list. Wearing clothes. She's not put that one. Because you don't. It's not that you notice it when you do wear clothes, but the year you forget. You get comments, I'm not going to lie to you. And here's another one. Don't kick your guest in the face. And I learned that the hard way. But, you know, Grandma was very old. So. It's an incredible week that millionaires are in the paper getting away scot-free. And George Osborne says we can't afford pensions anymore. The tabloids are saying that nurses and teachers and dinner ladies are greedy. And Ed Miliband said, it's 3 for 2 on frozen sausages! It's the last in the current series. I thought as a special treat, instead of just looking back at the news that you all know, I would look forward at some of the news that you can expect while the show is off the air. So I've been in touch with Gypsy Rose Lee, and I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. And here is a headline you're going to see some point over the next few days. We are fucked. And you can basically take your pick of what you think that means. There's so many ways in which the world could be fucked. I reckon it's probably going to be something to do with this man. President of Iran, Ahmadinejad. There he is. The problem with him is, he is, in my view, the person most likely to start a nuclear war. But he doesn't look that dangerous, does he? He just looks like he sells Hoovers around Tehran. And that's the problem, because no one's really writing about it in the papers. He would definitely be in the papers if he looked more like this. That's what he should look like. Deadly man. The problem with that music now is it's dramatic, but it does make it sound like he's about to join up on The X Factor. Please welcome your judges, Louis, Talisa, and Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. We thought it was great, you had loads of energy, Mahmoud.
Kill him.
His religious belief, he believes that he is on the earth to clear the world, if necessary, to make way for the prophet's return. But he's got a degree in traffic and transport. Not very evil, is it? And it's a job. I tell you, if you've ever tried to drive from Mashhad to Faruj at rush hour... The scary thing about him is there's no way we can fight him. If he decides to kick off, they say that within a day he could call up 1 million troops. He's got 1 million troops at his disposal, and now he wants to enrich uranium. I said to him, you're not going near my uranium, mate. You've really got to try and lighten up the potential end of the world, I find. It's very complicated. The nuclear argument's a very difficult one, because I don't think it's for countries that have them to say who can and can't have them just because they got them first. But then equally, I don't think you can give them to a country that still stones women to death. You can't be trusted with nuclear weapons if you still can't be trusted with a rock. If I give you this rock, are you going to throw it at that woman?
No.
Are you?
Yeah.
Probably will. So if you can't fight them, I think the only option we've got is to... And people don't know a lot about Iran. Learn some facts and try and sort of negotiate and maybe become friends with them. Population, 70 million, almost exactly the same as ours. They've got wild pheasants. Who knew that? It's pretty much the same as us. And they've got a TV show on Saturday night called Total Wipeout. It's about what they want to do to Israel, but still presented by Richard Hammond, because, in his words, fuck it, a gig's a gig. No. The other sad news is after 6 weeks of genuinely trying my best on this show to change what people think, people are still slagging off modern comedians. And this week was the turn of David Jason. So when I say this, it wasn't Del Boy what said it. It wasn't cuddly old. Oh, it fell off the back of a lorry. Are you a thief? No, it just fell off the back of a lorry. Let's not get into it. David Jason said modern comedians, they use the F word too much and they're obsessed with pushing boundaries. And, you know, he's right, isn't he? Because you go back to the good old days when you didn't have this offensive comedy and you could do nice jokes about buggers who couldn't speak properly. That's... His view, David Jason, is that we should go back to the good old days because that was good comedy because people didn't say fuck. And that was the difference. And we had innuendo. You know innuendo? She knows what I'm talking about, eh? He likes his toast done on both sides. You know what I'm talking about? She's got her tights around the wrong way around her. Do you know what I mean? Because I haven't got a fucking clue. The most depressing news of the week is that in Britain now, the wage gap between the richest and the poorest 10% is wider than it's ever been. And I was tempted to get on my high horse and do a load of stuff about pay and all that nonsense. But it's easier just to show you a story where rich people had to give one back. And every now and again, rich people get nailed. I had to go all the way to Japan to find it. But this happened this week. There we go. As it's worth pointing out, no one was seriously injured in this crash, just a few cuts and bruises. This is a crash that happened on a Japanese road that featured 8 Ferraris, 3 Mercedes, 1 Lamborghini, and you can just see there, 1 Toyota Prius. Quite nice to imagine the Prius there, isn't it? And I imagine just before that crash, the Prius driver who was being overtaken by all those cars went, I hope they have a bloody crash. The lead driver in that crash was a 60-year-old man, and all these big cars, they were on their way to a car convention in Fukuoka, which, incidentally, is exactly what the Toyota Prius driver said as the crash happened. Fuck you! Oh, car! The claim that this has led to is £1 million worth of damage. £1 million worth of damage. That's basically porn for Jeremy Clarkson, that, isn't it? £1 million of cars just thrusting into each other. A £1 million claim is so big that Alexander the Meerkat himself has had to go out and investigate the cause of the accident.
Basically, what happened is you all have too much money and you're driving like a prick. Simple.